Wilson, Scott Girard, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Hey, Tim Lacombe's going to join us here in just a second. Before we do that, though, let's give away some tickets. Caller number 12 right now, 801-575-ZONE. You win a pair of tickets to see Real Salt Lake versus Sporting KC on May 4th at America First Field. Get those tickets now. All right, Coach Lacombe, kind enough to join us. How are you, sir?
Oh, so glad.
What's going on, guys? It's a big day for the football world. I'm surprised you had me on.
It's a big day for the football world, but it's always a big day for the basketball world, too. And you're always welcome.
Well, that I know. You've showed that by word and deed.
Hey, I'm curious. I don't want to ask about it, but I do want to ask about it. You know, we just saw Reggie Bush get the Heisman back.
Yeah.
And I saw, is it Nick Emery or is it Jackson?
Nick was the one that got himself in trouble.
Okay, so Nick Emery sent out a tweet, and he said, how about we reinstate wins? If not for me, let's do it for Coach Rose. How tough was that whole situation for Coach Rose in that moment?
It was really tough. You know, the one thing Coach was all about was always trying to do the right thing. It was never a question. And, you know, the point was made all the time that, you know, we're going to do things different around here. We're going to get our guys, you know, through relationships. We're not going to cheat. We're not going to pay kids. And so, you know, that being how diligent he was, you know, it was just a real tough one. And I thought, as always, you know, the NCAA completely overreacted to it. And, yeah, I'd be all for getting those wins back. But, you know, it's crazy. I don't acknowledge. I mean, we played those games. We won. We lost. You know, they ain't taking anything away that we acknowledge at all.
Does BYU leave that in their record books?
They're forced to take it out.
Oh, they have to take it out of their.
So, yeah, you look at, like, the media guide and stuff like that. Those are games that are vacated.
They have to,
yeah.
Really?
But in the minds of fans and the coaches and the players.
It doesn't matter,
like Coach just said. Nor should it matter.
Well, if they're going to be reinstating Heismans, there's a lot of misdeed done by the NCAA that nowadays it's like, it's a free-for-all, whether it's smoking weed and somebody missed or it's, you know. Now, I know that there's probably honor code things that that university was particular to, but whatever it was, a trip to Harry Potter World or whatever it was, I mean, Coach, I can't believe that Dave Rose has penalized games for it. It just feels disgusting to me, and it feels like something that could be righted.
No, I totally agree. I definitely – it took some wind out of the sails, no question. You know, it was something that, of all the things, you know, all the things he'd been through, all the things to remember about him, you know, that's the part that really grated us. You know, I do believe that if the president that's at BYU right now were the president then, I don't know if this would have happened. You know,
wow.
I think they got a really strong-willed, you know, sport dude. And it just, you know, what's right is right. What's not is not. And I just, you know, I didn't feel like the upper administration put up enough of a fight at the time, but you know, that's neither here nor there.
Well, I can certainly appreciate that in my experience. And I have been really impressed with Coach or President Reese. I mean, just for him to go out and assemble the masses to get the resources to bring in Kevin Young. And then I saw Kevin Young hired Brandon Dunson. I don't know how much you know about Brandon Dunson, the Stanford assistant, but it looks like Kevin Young's starting to build quite the staff over there.
Well, yeah, and it's funny to me because I listen and watch, you know, just like you guys do. You talking about Twitter, Hanson, some all the experts that are out there, not in sport, you know, mind you, but God, they're really good at what they do. But, you know, they're sitting back basically saying that, you know, what's he doing? He's taking so long. Why aren't they hiring coaches? And I'm here to tell you it's a process. But I also think there's some strategy in it. You don't want to be too quick to hire guys because kids are moving around. You know, this era of pay for play, which is brought to you by the NCAA, is a, you know, a byproduct of a lot of years of people pushing back, you know, to get guys money. And now money is the commodity in college sports. You know, I chuckle now when I hear a guy's a really good recruiter. Hell, I'd be a great recruiter of the bag, you know, a couple $100,000 in it.
Oh, yeah.
But that is the game now. So if you can get a dude that's, you know, marginal, happy where he is, and he could bring a guy with him, it would behoove you to just play this kind of slow play this and see. So I will tell you this. I've had a couple conversations with his camp, and they know what they're doing. They have a lot of really good things going on. And, you know, they hired a guy with a global reach. And so it is a, you know, it's an ongoing process, but good things are happening.
So let's go back to last night, and Miami goes to Boston. They win game two, 111-101 without Jimmy Butler. Can Miami win this series without him, or was that just kind of a one-off weird game?
How many times? It is so crazy. How many times do we got to have this conversation, right? Because these guys do it every year. Yeah. My son walked in the front room last night. He's a huge Celtics fan, mind you. And he's like, I am so tired of the Heat. They're like a zombie, you know. They drag themselves, their corpse into the end of the season, and then they are fit to be like total contenders when they get to the playoffs. And I think they got tough-minded guys, but I think the secret sauce is Spoelstra. I sit back and watch that dude. The way that he's kind of – he's been in this thing a long time, and he's really morphed. But I don't know, it, you know, dollar for dollar if there's a better dude doing it. He's definitely innovative, but he gets the best out of his guys. And in a situation like that last night without Jimmy, you know, at the Celtics, to find a way to get his guys to, you know, to a point where they could win that game, it just speaks volumes.
What's crazy to me is, and correct me if I'm wrong, Coach, didn't they bring Eric Spoelstra in to be the yes man to the Threadles? Wasn't he, like, supposed to come in and just kind of bow down, or was he a hire before? Because now he's been there, what, 17 years?
Yeah, he's been there forever. Obviously started in the film room, which is why I have such an affinity for him, because that's kind of where I cut my teeth too. And man, you watch a lot of hoop and you see a lot of, you know, things that you like, you see a lot of things you don't. He's been able to do such a good job, but come full circle, Scotty, I don't know that they have what it takes to win the thing. You know, I think this is a kick in the butt for the Celtics. And I think, you know, you kick a sleeping bear. They're certainly just the way better team, but you know, again, it's Miami and it's April.
So, again, I think it's pretty fascinating, and I know your son's a diehard Celtics fan. So is knowing that, and I agree with you, I don't think Miami can win this series, but do you drop the odds of Boston a little bit based on what you saw in the early part of the series?
Perhaps, you know, some of the stuff, you know, it's things you've seen before where the ball kind of stops moving and, you know, guys, you know, it's not like everybody out there on the same page. You want to watch a team that's all on the same page and after it, man, watch the Nuggets. I absolutely love that team. So stinking unselfish, and the ball just pops around and everybody plays, you know, on the same page with each other. And I feel like the Celtics lack a little bit of that, and that's why I don't think they could ever get over the top with this team and win it all. But I still believe in the East that, you know, barring something crazy, that they will probably be the team that's in it, you know.
Do you think Jamal Murray is just going to stay happy being the second fiddle, being the bridesmaid, being the guy that's like, oh, man, he hit a great shot, but let's go back to Nikola Jokic, the best player in the league. Will he always stay happy? Let's say that they win a championship every 3 years. Or do you think he has a little unrest? He's like, I want to build my own thing.
You know, I sense that he's a guy, just by watching him play, he's making $30 million this year. And, you know, Nikola is making 47. So, you know, he's roughly half of what he's making. But I also believe after playing with him, I don't know if you could go have the success you have had because of the culture that he creates. I've never seen a superstar like him that is so quick to deflect. You know, he's not a guy who gets in a ton of – now, his brothers fight, but he is more – you know, he's just going to kill you with his step-throughs and his delayed drives and his ability to spin either hand. And he's just going to keep all the rest of it out. He's not into drama. You know what I mean? And so I think he'd be an easy guy to play for and with. And I think that Jamal, he just strikes me as a guy that above all else, he likes to win. And so, you know, I could be surprised and he could get sick of it, but I see him as a guy that will sit there and take as many rings as they can collect.
Is there any notion at all that they don't collect another ring this year in your mind?
It's not going to be a walk in the park. You know, I still believe they're going to take one big shot tonight from the Lakers. You know how that thing goes.
Lakers will win tonight.
Lakers win.
I think the Lakers win tonight. It'll be a gentleman sweep. I just think that's
what I was
going
to say. Yeah, I was just going to work in the gentleman sweep because you got to if you're a gentleman like we are.
Yes.
I think at the very least it's a gentleman sweep, but I would not be surprised with 4-0. But getting through that, I mean, obviously the West is really good, and we're watching it. You guys talked about it earlier with young players. Jokic seems like he's, you know, 35 with all his wisdom. The guy's 29. You guys said that earlier. You know, Murray's 27. You look around the league. Doncic is 25, you know, doing all those things he's doing. So, I mean, like the West is stacked, and whatever playoff series they're in is going to be tough. But I do believe, long-winded answer, that they win the crown again because of all those intangible things. And I think that Michael Malone, I used to call him Mike because I didn't like when he freaked out about calling him Michael, but he's earned the respect. I call him Michael. He won a championship. And he seriously has got in the day and age of a me, look at me, why can't, you know, he's got a team that is all about us. And I think that's something to celebrate.
Hey, Coach, do you think LeBron James retires as a Laker? Is he done with this organization? I was going to ask you the question, who loses the patch first, Steph Curry with Golden State or LeBron James with the Lakers? But I think I want to just keep it with LeBron and say this. Does he end with the Lakers? Like, what is his future?
I have a feeling he does not for some reason. Because just, you know, unlike Jokic, obviously LeBron is a phenomenal player and even at his age doing just crazy things, but loves drama. You know, we're talking about a guy who, you know, they set up the very first decision and we had to basically we were waiting for Al Capone's tomb with Geraldo Rivera. We had to sit through 45 minutes of that thing till he told us where he's going to go. So I would expect, and maybe something in and around his son, you know, because I think he's got, you know, crazy thoughts about trying to do that. But I'm just leaning towards saying he's the type of guy I think will finish elsewhere.
Tim Lacombe joining us right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone, is we continue to get you ready for the NBA playoffs and everything else that's going on. You surprised that Cleveland's up 2-0? I thought Orlando would have made a better stand in this thing.
Well, yeah, I thought they may steal one, but I do think this is where they'll shine and perhaps where a little bit of the Cleveland, for lack of a better word, front running. You know, when they go on the road, it's a little more different, and those shots aren't quite as easy, and you don't have that, you know, that the fans in your corner. And I think Orlando's really going to – like, that place isn't really going to freak out. I think it's going to be a sold-out, crazy place, kind of like hockey was last night. Let's hear it for hockey in Utah. And I've got to say this, nobody covered it better than you guys. I mean, I thought your station was such a – I mean, right from the very beginning, they were on it. And we got so much mileage out of the reports, you know, giving everybody up-to-date stuff. And then we finally get the thing. And, I mean, people are juiced about this thing. So, yeah, man, it's a great time to be alive.
Is Milwaukee dead in the water without Giannis?
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, I didn't believe in them with Giannis fully, you know. So I think it's going to be really, really difficult.
Yeah. Well, Coach, we appreciate your time as always. You ready to come on the air and break down hockey with us coming up here in the fall?
Well, I am going to do a little, you know, I got to learn a little more. I have watched quite a bit. I got into it, you know, when I lived back in Massachusetts. I was there during my mission trip. I was there, and the Bruins played for the Stanley Cup. They lost, but it was a absolutely crazy, crazy scene. Yep. So I'm looking forward to doing that here. Great job by the Smiths.
Yep, no doubt. No doubt about it. Coach, you're the best. Thanks for your time, and we'll talk again here soon.
Sounds great. See you guys.